But what I'd really like to do is something extraordinary.
Welcome back to The Ground Level. I'm your host, Sean, and as always, I got Brian here with me. We're doing something a little different. Early morning, no wine, a lot of coffee. So stay tuned. And again, I'm your host, Sean, and your host, Brian, here. We've got a few things we're going to be going over. Again, before we really dive into this, I got pulled into this kicking and screaming. We're over at YouTube now. So make sure you like and comment and share and subscribe to our channel. We want to continue to help this grow. Of course, we are still premiering over at Rumble.com in The Ground Level. But again, this is going to be a new adventure. I'm still not sure how I feel about it. We weren't online, but what, a couple hours and already got a restriction. So this is going to be fun.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it's just the way they do things. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I've been avoiding YouTube for so long. I mean, that was incredible. It was a couple hours and already you got to navigate through all their emails and.
Well, do you want to tell them what it was? I mean, it wasn't anything.
No. So we had one of our episodes a little while back. We were just kind of going over music, and I had one little clip. I didn't even remember this. Brian had to refresh my memory because I absolutely hate the band Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh, we might be canceled already.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Shut down. but there was a clip, and that's where I don't understand some of this stuff, is that it was in the background. We were just talking about a very small section of their video. It wasn't even maybe 15 seconds. And immediately, I mean, I got notifications, blocked, restricted, copyright infringement. And I go, I don't understand that. If this is all public stuff, I see all the time where people now over at Rumble, which is why I've stayed there for so long, that doesn't happen. We play stuff all the time. So I just don't get it. But of course, as I told you then, which was even stranger, it's back up now after I loaded into their system the facial recognition software where I could turn my head right and left, and then suddenly it was back on. And I went, what on earth could that possibly? Yeah, man, this is just becoming some scary shit. So, again, you can find us at The Ground Level on YouTube and Rumble.com in The Ground Level. Of course, Spotify and basically everywhere you get your podcasts.
On that note real quick, though, when I was searching, when you told me you dipped the toe into the YouTube toxic pool there, I just did the search, The Ground Level. And we are not the only Ground Level, unfortunately.
We're Ground Level one.
I was scrolling for a while. I was like, what is all this? There's a couple other podcasts out there. So hopefully we get to the Joe Rogan stratosphere.
We're
going to take this name.
Yeah, man. Exactly. I wonder if, those were podcasts too.
I believe so.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Some of them were like foundation work, and like a lot of them were like construction, like housework and stuff like that. But there was one Ground Level podcast that I was like, oh shoot, people talking the Ground Level.
Yeah. It's we'll figure something out.
The groundest level.
Yes. But yeah, man, we were talking yesterday. This is what kind of prompted this, last minute, early morning session here. It was the insurance issue. This was such a great topic that we were going over, and one of my pushbacks, that, as you know by now, is I start from the foundation of, if we can't trust our systems that are in power at the moment, politicians, government, even globally, you know, and we're obviously more rooted in with the American government and the messages that they're always sending to us about, we can do this for you. We can take care of this for you. We need a government system, UBI, all these systems that, where I'm coming from right out the gate, is I have no trust in their ability to manage any of that.
Yeah.
So in theory, it sounds great. So if we want to, I think, have just starting out right at the gate, correct about this, with if I remove that fear or concern, and it is a valid concern, a legitimate one, I know you agree with that, but if we were going to say, okay, we can trust these systems, let's remove the past 50 years of nonsense that we've been through. And sorry, folks, there for a second. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty, but we're back into it and kind of starting over. What we were saying is that if we want to eliminate that and just say that we do have, let's say, a majority, there will never be a 100% pure system. But if we do have a majority of politicians and government officials that did care.
True statesmen.
Correct. And yeah. We're really looking out for the people and understood that their paycheck comes from our taxes and all that. What is your idea of the a better medical system, first of all?
Well, I think the video that you sent me that sparked it, and we're not going to play that video, but it was essentially that you don't need insurance was the impetus behind this lady's talk, that you can get fairly reasonably cost healthcare just by paying cash, by budgeting yourself and not going through insurance. And I believe you are
doing that.
You do this, yeah. But this, it'd be hard to get everyone to jump onto a system like that. So what we had talked about yesterday, and this is still my go-to, would be a mixed system. Obviously I've advocated in the past and still advocate for some sort of universal healthcare system for the American people. Other countries do it. We're the richest country on the nation of the earth, the richest nation on earth. There's no reason we can't afford some sort of healthcare system that's straightforward and makes sense and covers everybody. Granted, if there is a way to drive down costs using the market by having doctors compete outside of this system for cash, like I said, if people go, well, I don't want to buy, it would be an opt-in system would be my ideal situation. So
there's the key.
Maybe 100%. Everyone pays taxes, but if you opt out, your tax burden is far less, or maybe not at all. I'm not sure. But on top of that, if you didn't want to say you got the sniffles, so we're going to cover it, and it's going to be $700 to get, you know, essentially a bottle of NyQuil or something. I mean, the amount of fraud and waste and abuse that goes into all these universal medical systems around the planet, you know, it's a real thing. It's a concern. And the last thing I want is more of our tax money being wasted on things that we don't need. However, we do need healthcare. So how do we work this in? I would say if you could opt into this universal system, then also if you didn't want to, you could budget and let's say get this cheaper medical and have doctors compete to drive down prices. You'd have more doctors. You'd have nurses who a BSN nurse be able to expand their level of involvement with patients and allow them to prescribe things and help people. That way you don't have to actually go to a clinic. You could see a nurse or anyways, just opening it up so more people have access to healthcare. And to drive down those prices using the market, you'd state the price like, oh, I have a broken knuckle or broken fingers. Like, well, how much is that going to cost me? $400. And then you can go, well, I can shop around. Well, this guy's going to do it for $350. And, you know, you go, well, maybe he's not a good doctor. And then it gets into the whole, like, well, let's go to his Yelp reviews and things like that. I don't know. But that seems more like shopping for a car mechanic. It shouldn't be that much different than shopping for a doctor.
Sure.
And everyone should be covered. You shouldn't have to worry about what insurance you have because that'd be your universal side. It's like, well, if you opt into that system, then you're covered no matter what or where you go. But if you opt out and you're like, well, I've saved my money. I've got, you know, $2,000 in my medical budget. And I should be able to get this covered and taken care of with that money I have set aside. But people aren't set up and don't manage their money that way either. Most likely those things are going to credit card, unfortunately, but that's a whole other conversation.
Well, and a lot of that just stems from the American culture and our education system. We talked about that briefly about our education system. The priorities are so out of whack right now. You said it just simply, show them how to balance a checkbook. Yeah. Now, granted, we're in this, you know, different world now where most people don't even use a checkbook, but just keeping a ledger of your numbers and paying attention, what's coming in, budgeting, all that kind of stuff. That's a lost art. Kids don't know that. They just need stuff now. It's all consumerism. And then you have. So if you take those, if you're not teaching at those early ages about set aside. You don't know what's coming. I mean, it's a tragic event could be, you don't need the Mercedes today. You don't need, you know, the big house, all that shit. And I do think a lot of that starts at the consumerism model, is that's where part of a problem is it's just advertising, marketing. You need to have shit you don't need. And then but on the medical system. So we've gotten away from your approach is really about caring about humanity. And that sounds like I don't.
Yeah.
But
I know you don't.
Yeah, I don't.
Anyone outside these four walls?
Yes. Yeah,
good luck to you.
Present company included. You're within the walls for the moment.
Here, like I'm living in your basement. Yeah, yeah.
The moonlight burns my skin.
Next episode, I should just rise up out of the corner. I'm always here. Anyway, sorry.
Just very slowly. Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. No, it's the problem is all these things sound great in practice and in application. Practically, that probably would work, especially if it was used as what we were initially sold with the welfare system of that. This is to kind of prop you back up and get you back out into the system. A tragedy happened or an unseen life event occurred. Fine. We're here to help temporarily.
Yeah.
We now have a system where people just live off this shit and they never have any. Did you see that video the other day where the kid was trying to go out and get a job and his mom lost his shit or lost her shit on him? And started yelling at him, saying, "No, if you do that, that's going to take away from my welfare and food stamps and all this kind of shit."
Yeah,
and he was like, "Well, Mom, I need to do this." I mean, it was like he's recording her going, "Hell no!" And she's just this lazy bitch that's sitting in the back, not doing a damn thing, and that's a huge problem. And because that exists, that's where constantly my brakes roll on. I don't trust any. This is where I come from. I don't trust any of them. So what's the guy in New York?
Mom Donnie.
Any of these people that have these socialist programs, they're selling you a product of their own. And it's why. What is the real goal here? It's to get control over us. You just listen to Whitney Webb, and after watching all that situation with the upcoming AI and the digital ID and the digital ID that I constantly have been harping on for 10 years about stay away from this shit, people are just going to naturally go into it. And it's easy when you frighten people into submission, and that's all it is. People are dying. And every time I hear Bernie Sanders talk about the people are dying and all this kind of thing, you need to have medical. We need to take care of each other. I don't believe at all his heart's in the right place. It's about money. It's always about money and control. And then that was a perfect thing. Last point, what we said, that's why I dovetailed that video for you the other day or yesterday. About then you have the communists. They're constantly trying to get control of people. Yeah. Historically, that's what happens. They get everybody afraid, get you to comply through fear. And then once they've got you, they will never, let go of that power.
Yeah, it's a revolutionary tactic. And I'm, like I said, full disclosure, I'm 100% on board with the lack of trust in our institutions that you have. I mean, I think most Americans are. Every poll after poll shows that nobody trusts Congress. Nobody trusts anybody these days. And they certainly don't trust the other side.
That's the key, right?
Yeah. And that's, we're completely divided as a nation. People are talking about a national divorce. That's like a very cute way of saying civil war or, secession.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what does that mean? You're going to have all the cities, the blue cities, be separate from the remaining red counties? I mean, practically that doesn't make any sense. But focusing on what you brought up there, the lady who was talking about getting away from health insurance and paying for your medical stuff on your own, I don't know if she was talking about like, oh, I have cancer now, so I'm just going to pay for that out of pocket and it's somehow manageable. That's not what she's talking about.
No. She even mentions it is about there's going to be those tragic events, but then there's a system that could be set up
for
that.
Even that suggestion that you get away from health insurance is pretty revolutionary talk. I mean, it's not socialized medicine. It's not like a universal healthcare system, sure. But she's going to get pushback on that from the people in power. And I guess that's always my response to what you just said is like, well, they only want control. It's like, well, we're already being controlled. We're being controlled by health insurance agencies where we don't have a choice. Now, granted, she's saying you can break free from some of that control, but it's not a full on solution to everything that could happen to you medically. Unless you're going to save, $5 million in case you break your back or, and need a radical surgery or a liver transplant or who knows, all the stuff that can go wrong with you medically.
But if you're applying that system like what I'm doing, where you're able to, if you're relatively healthy, Let's get that, you know, let's set up the stage here. If most people
were
the
case in America,
but if most people are just relatively healthy and not have, you know, I got cancer and these kind of things, or my liver's failing. If you are disciplined enough to be setting aside a little bit here and there, and that gets back down to
education.
Correct.
Yeah,
and
if people need to be taught how to manage, I mean, if you're not educating kids about the system they're walking into, you are in dereliction of duty as a teacher.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not preparing them, I mean, they seem more ready to prepare them for cultural nonsense or essentially propagandizing to kids about hating a certain party or a person, Trump, than they are actually preparing them for the world they're walking into. It's the thing is, kids they're locked into TikTok algorithms and anything on social media, or just video games, or, you know, the normal, it's distracting enough as a kid growing up, like finding your social circle, going to the football game on Fridays, you know, getting ready for the prom. I mean, those things take up so much of your attention. And then you pile social media on top of that. I get it. Educating them is hard enough, even for these important things, but that's why focusing on those important things,
correct,
like learning how to cash in, cash out, how to save, how does the medical system actually work? I mean, I know these seem like, well, kids aren't going to understand this. Kids understand a lot more than you think they do.
Well, and then at an early age now, when you're more focused on pumping them full of cultural warfare stuff, that's a huge problem right now.
Yeah.
It's distracting from you're not preparing them for the future.
Well, the ironic part to that too is everyone looks, which is, you know, it's uncharitable, or it's at least not accurate to say, look, all these teachers are loony leftist weirdos and stuff, and they're indoctrinating our kids. But it's like, well, if they really wanted to do that and create this revolution that, you know, we can either hope for or fear, because there's a little bit of both involved, they should be teaching these things. If you're going to actually combat the system, to actually do that effectively, you need to know how it works. But they're not teaching them that. So they're walking out just angry, not really knowing where to go. And then they're just upset at the system without any idea of how it functions or where it comes from. And that's where my anger, I mean, the more I understand, and granted, I'm having to educate myself on this and living through the life of hard knocks, figuring it out as I've grown up into my 40s, I'm pissed off because I do understand how it works. I'm not just vaguely angry at some system. I'm seeing the corruption. I'm seeing, like, the largest lobbying firms in Washington, D.C. are pharmaceuticals and health insurance companies. That's what we're talking about.
They're absolute monsters.
And so don't tell me that, I mean, the Obama plan was essentially ACA, Obama, American Healthcare, whatever it's called, Affordable Healthcare Act.
Which it was not.
But it was also a heritage system or heritage foundation plan that Romney was using in Massachusetts before Obama ever took it on and implemented it nationally.
More to my point.
And it was
Romney's corrupt as fuck too.
More than anything, it was a gift to insurance companies because it allowed the bigger insurance companies to swallow up the smaller ones because everyone had, I mean, it was a gift, and people go, oh, you know, it was, I think Republicans mainly argued against it because it was Obama and they had to. And that was, you know, he was really the start of this hyper-partisan bullshit.
Well, the Republicans still had to cater to their base.
Of course.
So this is socialism, communism.
It was the Tea Party wave, and they go, this is going to be too expensive and everything else. And, like, I get it. You know, I used to be more of a fiscal hawk as far as, like, we got to do something. And I still am to some degree. I think the amount of money our government spends is...
It's so far out of control.
Yeah, it's stupid. But at the same time, I believe that we could spend our money wisely, speaking of cash in, cash out, and debts. And we could accomplish these things because, like I was telling you yesterday, I'm a firm believer in American exceptionalism. That's because of the idea of America, of rugged individuality. Like, I get it. Some people roll their eyes at all that stuff, that's not a real thing anymore. But I want to believe it is. And it's like, it's that belief and hope that really makes America special.
But it was at one point. And that's why that, you know, unfortunately, it's amazing how people are just swayed in one direction or another and those types of things. You know, the idea in principle that kind of aligns with Make America Great Again is the idea that, yes, you and I grew up with this, you know, pull up your boots, get back to work, have ambition, drive. That's been destroyed now. Everybody's bitching and complaining. It's not fair. I don't have this and I don't have that and I can't get ahead. It's always complaining and whining from this new generation is what it seems like to me. There's no, I'm going to make it on my own. I don't need anybody to give. Well, every time you look at what somebody else has, the, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, we're so far removed from that now because there's the super billionaires and then the poor. And when everybody's bitching about they have too much, you get the results. Well, I mean, this is kind of getting off topic, but it's still in the same world. That get what's his name? The Luigi. The guy, the guy that shot the CEO.
Yeah, Brian Thompson. The guy's,
what was he making? $9 million a year? That's
denying healthcare coverage. Yeah.
Correct. And we've said this before. No, he shouldn't have gone out and shot him. But when you do see that, I understand then when politicians on the political left, they latch onto that and go, see, it's not fair. Look at what all they have. And do you remember, did you notice how that kept getting pushed out where it's not the millionaires are evil, those billionaires are evil. You know why? Because the $385 million Nancy Pelosi and the we got to divert. We got to get them to not look at us. We're the ones that truly care. That's the shit that it's just constant manipulation. And this is why I said earlier in this, I can't remove myself from knowing that all of them, that DC machine is so powerful and so corrupt, and they're being controlled by banks and corporations.
Yeah.
We can't, I will never trust any system that is put out now, a medical system controlled by the government. I couldn't. It would be a nightmare. And especially then if they force it, and you know now that I am off that system.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess my response to that is, isn't that what we're living under right now? I mean, it is the ACA. It was a government that essentially required you to have or got people onto this health insurance, but they were trying to mandate that people were covered. And I know that got, I think
it got pushed back. Yeah. Because there was those fines that were $95 a month. If you're not on it, that's forcing me to pay for something that I'm not even using. Yeah.
And they were trying to make health insurance it's more like a universal healthcare system through private insurance. But I think that's what we can see right now is I'm on board with you. I don't trust our government anymore. And I think we're already bought out. It's like you're already under some umbrella system they're trying to get everybody to funnel into so they can get your money and then deny you healthcare, the diet thing you're actually paying for, which is wild. I just want a system where if you need help, you get the help because we can provide it because we're filthy rich. But the problem with that is like, and when I say we, I mean like the nation is rich, but then you go, okay, well, where's this money going? And then you see guys like Brian Thompson. I'm sorry. It's like, I know CEOs, they provide a function. They're important. You know, they have an understanding and an education.
It's pretty impressive. $9 million a year to be
I know. It's a lot.
You can't process that. It's like, wow,
it's a lot of money. And the guy's not going home with a sore back, you know, unless he's got a crappy chair, you know, he's doing a different kind of work, but the idea that any of his job for $9 million a year should be somehow figuring out a way to get everybody the healthcare they need. But that's not what's happening. He's making that money and lining shareholders' pockets by denying people care.
Yeah. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is because everything I've completely right down the ground, lost any faith in any system that we'll see in our lifetime that will be managed appropriately. They fucked up Social Security. They fuck up our taxes on the local level, especially in the state of Washington. It's always just a constant money grab, create a crisis. That's what I fear is what's going on is you create another healthcare crisis.
Well, we already had a healthcare crisis.
No. But keep that narrative pumping through. What about those people that are, you know, they're struggling? What about the elderly? You know, that's what they did with the COVID bullshit too.
Yeah,
Get money that they don't give a fuck about any of us. None of them.
I mean, I can accept. Yeah, I can get on that train, or at least you know stand at the station there and watch it go by. I guess my question though is, if that's all they're doing, I guess I'm just not seeing the difference. Like, it gets us to that revolutionary conversation. Like, they're not drumming up controversy and sad stories out of nothing. Those are real stories. Most of the bankruptcies in this country are due to medical debt. And then you have people going.
Of course. And that's okay. What they do. But that's the cherry picking process. You find the one gay guy that got his ass kicked. And now every conservative is a.
Yeah, I know.
It's just broadcast to get everybody on board.
But if I'm telling you that most of the bankruptcies in this country are due to medical debt, that's not cherry picking. That's cherries like raining down on you. It is a crisis.
That's something that happens to it. I mean, how many people are I've never done the research. How many of our population, what's the statistic of people that are bankrupt because they got cancer? I mean, I would love to see those numbers because I have no idea.
Pretty much anyone who gets cancer.
My mother's been battling it for 3 years.
And she probably had health care coverage.
She had Medicare because she put into that system.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's and I don't have a problem with the Medicaid when you're elderly.
Correct. And the lady that
Medicare.
We should try to at least provide the link at the end of this so people could watch that if we could find because sure. She even says that. She goes, you can get off the health insurance kick and you can do this on your own if you're relatively healthy. But if you're old enough to get Medicare, Medicaid, then you should use that because you've paid into the
and
system.
I don't have a problem with that. It's the same as but yeah. And it's also that's another system that you're forced to pay into. Social Security, you were forced to pay into.
Correct, yeah.
And that thing is going bankrupt.
Yeah.
There's already suggesting that by the time you and I mean, I don't know how that's really going to play out, but with our trillions in debt, I can't even imagine, is that even going to be around? So if we have a track record constantly of them abusing our tax money, now the Medicare, Medicaid, that's something that I want to be able to trust when I'm elderly.
Sure.
I mean, that's not far off. I'm 50. Yeah, it's like, it's 15 years. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's coming up. But
hold on, man. This,
yeah. But that's what I'm saying is I can't, if we start teaching people now, because she's accurate that in our age, you know, 20 up, you know, to into your 50s, eat right, be healthy. Yeah, there's always going to be an outlying situation where somebody, holy shit, you got cancer and you did everything right. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm saying, but most people can just, if it always starts in these revolutions are often slow and you got to be patient that you can change this system if you get to everybody young enough and say, look at what's happened with they've been going after our young now, and we've got all this fucked up cultural warfare shit going on that is unnecessary right now. Well, so, but
it's
if you
distracting from the problem of actually changing the system. So,
right. So if you start at the youth and start, like you said earlier, start budgeting, planning, this is what could happen, but eat right, stay away from sugar. It's toxic. All these don't smoke. I mean, look at what's smoking. So how many people don't smoke anymore? It's most people when you and I were growing up smoked.
Yeah.
So it can be done. And if I, as terrifying as it was with a family of five, said, I'm off this, we don't even have medical or health insurance, but we do set aside. And then when we do go to the doctor, it's, you know, $50, a couple hundred bucks. I was shocked. And, you know, over the past few years now of how relatively inexpensive it is.
Yeah.
People are terrified.
Well, they because don't know.
They're, right. One, yeah. That. And we've said this before. Remember when I left the union and being under that blanket of a corporate system my entire life of I've got somebody supplying me a paycheck. It was terrifying.
Yeah.
Because you're like, holy shit, I've actually got to do this now. But at the same time, I discovered within a couple of years how freeing it was. Now, that doesn't mean I'm completely out of the you know, murky water here. I'm just saying, but that part being
removed. Health is always a scary thing.
No, sure, but that part being removed, it is manageable. And if most people tried and just went, okay, I'm off this system, I don't need this health care. You'll find it's like anything. You start getting used to that feeling of okay, things are okay, but everybody's been terrified and you get into submission. But you need to be this, and you're not you, but those that would suggest that the healthcare corporations aren't using it. Look, what do we see on TV? It's constantly ads.
Yeah.
You need this medication. You're not feeling right. You're
that's
sick.
That lobbying money. I was
correct. Yeah. And that's disgusting. Lobbyism for healthcare. Lobbyism should just be gone, period. Well, but especially in that department.
The funny part is everyone goes, oh, these drug companies need all this money so they can do R&D and create new drugs. And granted, some of these drugs they create are lifesavers. I mean, they're truly helping, you know. But when they play games with with patents and stuff like that, and to read, so people can't get the generic forms of older drugs that they've created, so they change a molecule or two or whatever they do and repatented it, and then you can't access the, I mean, they play these games to keep their profit margins up, which is disgusting. I mean, people with diabetes, they should be getting insulin from, you know, that was designed in the 1950s. They should be getting it for like $1 a pop or whatever, super cheap, you know. Anyways.
Well, the more we find out about drugs now too, ibuprofen is really bad for you. Tylenol is bad. I mean, it's always been on the bottles, but, and I don't bring up Tylenol because of the most recent.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't. I remember
just need a bottle of Tylenol sitting out here on the table.
I'll have it come across the screen. Brought to you by Tylenol. Yeah. I remember being, I mean, this was 80s and 90s. My mom not letting us use Tylenol back then because there was the fear of Reye syndrome. It was not allowed in our house. Ibuprofen was okay in small doses. But the point I'm getting at is everything is a constant system of fear when our bodies are pretty fucking resilient. When you think about what we're bombarded with constantly, shitty diets and all.
Bombard them with less, I would recommend. But.
And so then there's also the, well, here's a question. There's a school of thought, if you will, of that. What have they really cured over the past 100 years? Polio? No, they didn't. It's coming back. Measles? Nope. Here it is back again. Well, so
down the whole vaccination.
Right. And so what we're doing is it seems our medical system right now is just in a process of just treating symptoms, make you feel better temporarily.
Yeah.
It's not, they have no true, they don't want to cure anything because then you've removed their profits.
Yeah, the profit motive, so, there's definitely that argument. My response to that would basically be nature's trying to kill us all the time anyways. They have an impossible task.
We're part of nature.
Yeah.
Right?
We kill each other. I'm just saying that's the reality you live in. You step off this planet, you're dead in a second.
Okay.
On this planet, a tiger will kill you, a germ will kill you, a shark will kill you, a storm will kill you. I mean, nature gives no fucks. It's trying to kill us right now. I mean, our bodies are decaying and falling apart. We're older. I mean, life has a cycle to it, and people don't want to own up. It's like, well, I'm going to live forever. I'm immortal. No, you're not. And we're never, outside of a few people, I mean, they're talking about it in China being immortal. Because
that's even more of a cynical take than I have. I don't think nature has this drive to kill you.
No, there's no drive. It's just what it is. That's what you're born into. So as far as the medical system not curing anything, is like, well, I don't know if they can. I mean, we're going to die. So,
well, no, curing death, no. But I mean, these ailments, you know, AIDS and cancer. But I think it's still funny that Magic Johnson's still kicking. It's like, if you have the money.
You just answered your own question. What have they cured? Well, it's like they've been able to treat it and keep you alive.
Sure.
Maybe there is no cure for AIDS. Maybe they haven't been able to figure that out. They can't get it, but they can manage it. And maybe that's as good as we can do. Or if you want to take the cynical approach, they don't want to cure it because they want you to keep paying for the drug that keeps you alive. Okay, I might be able to buy into that, but I'm not a scientist figuring it out. It's like,
well, the more that they say about with the, what is that stuff, a chemotherapy and radiation and what it actually does to you how it destroys you.
Yeah.
And they're like, but it's also killing the cancer cells.
I guess this gets around to the point I wanted to make. You're like, I can't trust the institutions. I can't trust the people don't want to just have power. But that's, I just turn around and go, that's what we're in right now. That's what we're living through. So is that system worse than the system we're in? Because I don't know. I need some sort of movement on this. Like it's a problem that we've been talking about since Obama and before that. I mean, we talked about this in the last episode. We want us with immigration, solve the problem.
Sure.
Stop lashing at the branches, stop pruning and get to the root of an issue and solve something, solve an issue, solve it. At least make the appearance of a solution, I would take at this point. I mean, that was in retrospect, at the time I was against the ACA because I was a little more of a fiscal hawk at that point. I was like, we can't afford universal health care. And then I started looking.
You were? I didn't 100%. Know that.
Yeah, it's just because I was like my start into politics was, you know, roughly around that time when my oldest was born. And so that was one of the things that just didn't make sense. We can't spend all this money, blah, blah, blah. And then obviously over the course of years, I've learned like, how much did we spend in Afghanistan and Iraq? How much did we spend? I'm like, we clearly have the money. That's not the problem for me. And then it became your concern. Okay, well, what about the power? Do I really trust these people to run this system properly without it being corrupt? Well, the system we're living under is corrupt. Like, we are literally talking right now. It's like, well, they, can they cure AIDS, or do they just want to bilk you for that money for the drug all the time? It's like, we have that thought in our head at all. We have no trust, because that's a very, very cynical approach to the healthcare industry and system that we're living under. And I think that thought comes out of the experiences we've had dealing with this system.
We have been for a long time now born into slavery, and while it's not slavery with actual physical chains,
that's chattel slavery.
It's you are born into this system where you are looked at as just a means to their financial security. Yeah. All of us, and those that are trying to break away, that becomes less and less an opportunity now in this country, where it used to be, you went out there and worked hard, started your own business. You know, you learned, you got a new skill, a new trade, step away from working at McDonald's. Now you have people that are okay with being in a career McDonald's, Starbucks position at 45 years old. That's what I'm saying. The ambition, not to say that working as a barista or anything like that is bad. That's not what I'm suggesting. But when you're going, people that do those particular jobs sit there and bitch and moan that it's not fair. Well, that you start, where did that come from? Yes, there's truth in that, that there are powerful people that are, you know, managing us, for lack of better words. And so there, you know, when you go, my God, that guy's got so much and I'm stuck in this shit. Well, you've removed that idea that, well, no, you need to make some changes.
Yeah.
And because it's not my fault. It's everybody else's fault. That's what's pumped into our youth now, is that you don't have a shot anymore. It's those evil corporatism. And there's truth in that, but you still can. And if you teach people, this all stems back to the education system. Yeah, if you start teaching everybody to change their mentality about everything, that's how you, no, about everything.
I know.
The American process.
I'm not laughing at the idea, because I 100% agree with you. Really, America needs, we even brought up rugged individualism here.
America needs an enema.
America needs some stoicism, because, so let's focus on this barista example real quick. The only thing I want to remove from your example is the bitching and moaning part. If you're happy being a barista, my problem is, can you make enough to survive in this country being a barista?
And you shouldn't expect to. That's unless you are being financially responsible. That's not a job that is supposed to make you a millionaire, and everybody thinks that you all should be.
Can you survive? I didn't say become a millionaire. Can you survive being a barista?
Sure you can.
Okay.
But what are your desires then? So you say, well, you should be able to have shelter. Okay. Are you okay with having a roommate? No, that's not fair. Well, okay, but you're doing a job that is not supposed to make you this, you know, the American dream has been so clouded now buying a house and all this kind of thing, that everybody should be afforded that American dream. No, not everybody should, unless you're working for it. That's the key.
Correct.
Just surviving, I think, is, sorry not to cut you off, but you're saying, can you survive? Well, what's survival then? I'm just meeting the bare minimum. Yeah, I can just scrape along and survive. Exactly. So that's what's the quality of life that you're going after? That's the key. Now, if some people are okay with having a studio apartment and living downtown, and cool, that's not a judgment. Some people are fine with that. People like to live in the country and live off the grid. I mean, that's not the judgment. Is when you are doing these particular remedial jobs that anybody can do. And again, like the janitor example. I just met the other day that it was a janitor for 37 years. And I thought that was so awesome. He took care of his wife and two kids, worked his ass off, lived a modest life, but he was content. Him and I had this great conversation at the end of the day, and I was so impressed by it. I was like, yes, that's what's missing, is you weren't hit with, it's not fair.
Poverty is not having enough. It's wanting more.
Right.
Yeah, that's real poverty.
Correct.
I think those jobs, there should be the expectation that you can make it in America, though. But that's where my frustration is.
It's harder to define that. What do you mean make it? What is making it in America?
Not being so financially stressed. Now, if you live outside,
just surviving to term.
Yeah, if you're living outside your means, yes. But then again, it's harder to do that when rent keeps going up, power keeps going up, gas keeps going up, your medical debt keeps going up. Yeah,
that's a problem.
So that's the system I'm fighting against. Yes, as far as changing mentality, I'm 100% with you on that. People should just be happy with what they have, work harder. And if you want more, recognize that that's outside of the expectations for the whatever field,
whatever
you're
skill.
But
I'm in, yep.
If you choose, I'm happy being a barista. I love my customers that come in here. This is what I could see myself doing this for the rest of my life. Maybe I'll own my own coffee shop or be a manager here, but I'm happy here. I'm saying
enjoy serving people. That's
and
great.
I live in, yeah, a modest townhome right down the road or whatever. I don't know. It's like, you should be able to do those things and live a comfortable enough life. Now, you're not driving a Maserati. You're not going to Bermuda every year. You know, you're not flying private or something like that. Those things, having that expectation, that's a whole other conversation. And I agree. Yeah. That'd be dumb to look at your phone and go, I should be doing what this person's doing. Well, you're a barista.
That's part of the problem too, is our social media with Facebook, and everybody's going to.
There's nothing wrong with you. You have dignity. You're human. You're part of a great nation. Just live your life and be happy. But I get it. But that's not everybody, though. Not everybody's like that. There's like you said, you met a janitor who's been doing it for almost 40 years, and he's happy and content. And I'm sure
he's also a different generation. He's 63 years old.
Yeah.
It was a different mentality. That's what this new – man, when you and I, once we start reaching out, this is the shit that terrifies me. And it does – do you remember the Breakfast Club? When the principal, he goes, these kids are going to be taking care of us. Right. Yeah, exactly. The bull by the horns. Yeah. I got you for 3 weeks. But yeah, the bull by the horns. Yeah. But it was that point now just applies to my life. Maybe that's a natural process. We get older because we're conservative in our ways, but these ones really terrify me because they're so disconnected from. Reality is going to hit them really hard, but when it hits them hard, they're still going to be stuck in that grounded mentality of it's not fair. Somebody else should be providing for me at this point.
Well, so this gets back to what we were talking about a second ago. It's not fair. I could easily agree with him on that. I think the system we're living under isn't fair. There's some definite. Okay, we talked about it. Corruption. The institutions are corrupt. If all that corruption is going on, there's definitely some unfairness trickling down to us. It's not the riches. It's not comfort. It's not a reasonable expectation that you can get through life. I get it. We're not all going to be on easy street, but a level of achieving some semblance of the American dream should be on the table. And more, I think that's been pulled away from us.
I don't think we're going to see that change in your and I's lifetime. And because it always circles back to the education, changing the culture, changing their mentality. You're not going to do any of these things while we're alive.
I'm saying the mentality is more justified now than it's ever been. The wealth disparity in this country is wild.
Right. So, but remember too, gosh, this gets so deep.
I'm with the youth on this one. Granted, I don't like the jealousy aspect, and I see that. I see what you're pointing to there, and I totally agree. However, they're not wrong. They're not wrong. Not that they should deserve more and go to the Maldives and fly private.
No,
what I'm saying is that they're seeing the American dream is unattainable right now. Whatever that is, if it's living in a studio apartment and being a barista and being happy and not worrying, I can make all my pay all my bills. That's enough of the American dream to get by for me. It's not great, but it's enough. And if they're happy with that, great. However, that's hard.
What the American dream is has been distorted now. They don't know what the American dream is, especially when you don't have any historical reference. I keep focusing on this education system because they don't truly know American history. You and I think, are one of the last generations that really understood it. And I think now it's just been so distorted intentionally by corporations and by government to keep people in their place. And it's like always circling back to give them their tartar sauce, give them their cake, just so they'll shut up for a little bit while we still lurk in the shadows and soak more money out of them.
And power, yeah.
Right. And so how do you, those that have that drive to become a CEO and all that kind of stuff, how do you change their culture mentality right down at education system? You know, it's sick, but it is so far out of control. This is what I'm talking about, that I will never trust any. So again, circling back to how we started this with the idea of social medicine, medical care for everybody, healthcare systems for all, I will never trust it. We've had nothing but example after example after example of these politicians completely fucking lying to us and playing games with us because they're taking campaign money from lobbyists to, hey, write this into legislation in that 6,000 page that nobody will read, you know, so we can get more benefits. And then we'll make sure that you get voted in. That system is, and I know I'm really flying off target here, but that's the problem, is it's so fucked up right now. I don't think we're going to see that system that you would like, and I could get on board with, if I could have faith in the systems, that people's intention were really pure.
But you have no, I know. So I guess I'm struggling with, you have no faith in the system as it's currently constructed. Clearly you're buying out of it right now. You don't have health insurance. You're doing this on your own. I congratulate you on that. But do you think that barista could do that? Granted, I know it's like
they have Starbucks medical insurance. I imagine Schultz gives
out. She works at a private espresso stand.
So where are you going with this? Do you think that private shit is responsible for their healthcare?
What?
I didn't know where you were going. That the private small little coffee shop, correct, are they responsible for that employee's healthcare?
Can they make the choice that you made and not have health insurance?
I think
at all?
I mean, okay. I don't know. I'm not making $20 an hour anymore. I mean, I don't know
what I'm saying. A lot of people do. Some people don't even make that. A kid working at Red Robin. Do you think they could go down the route you're going? I mean, I want more people to attempt it. I want there to be competition to drive prices down. However,
I think
there
has to be
a safety net for these people in case
there. And
happens.
I said that earlier, that I don't have a problem with a safety net if it's temporary. We've seen again, time again, people just start living off of it. And now it just gives more justification for.
But you're not living off. You're not using a healthcare system. I hope you wouldn't be using it every day. So living off.
How many? What are they called? The hypochondriacs. We have a nation full of them now. My mother's one of them. Sits there and stares at Google. I've got an ache in my shoulder. And oh shit, did you know that you have kidney dialysis? I mean, they just go running wild with, oh fuck, I got to go to the doctor. I got to go to the doctor. Yeah, and doctors love that. Keep them coming in. Keep these little multi-cares busy. You go into a multi. Now, this is one problem that when we took our son to he had something going on with his heel the other day. And when they walked into the clinic and you just see it's full of people. And you go, wow, there's this many people. It's, I got this pain. Toughen the fuck up. Quit going to the doctor because you're afraid that you have cancer because you sneezed. And now that you need to go, you didn't get your 87th COVID booster shot this week. Yeah. It's constant marketing to keep people afraid. I'm sick. I've got an ailment. There's part of the problem too. You're fine. You're okay. You got a little ache. You're sick. Go take some Tylenol. Take some ibuprofen. Nope. Okay. Robitussin. Okay. Robitussin's safe. You see where I'm going with this? It's the culture. It's everybody's terrified constantly. They're going to die. You're going to die. It sucks. Nobody wants to face that reality.
The first thing the doctor tells you when you get into the office, thanks for waiting. By the way, you're going
to
die.
Well, what happened to the first? Yeah. The first 2 weeks of COVID, remember?
Not from your shoulder. I just wanted to let you know you're going to die.
That should be right when. By the way, just let's get this out of the way. You will die. Now, what's ailing you today?
How's your?
But remember, it's all these marketing slogans: stay home, stay safe, three masks. All that shit is to get you to comply. And this is the culture that we're in now. And I really do believe that you and I are the last of those that are what's going on here, truly? Yeah,
I guess I'm struggling with the same thing. Is like you're very upset, and rightfully so, about what's going on. It's all a product of the current system we're living under. So my desire for this system to be torched and reset into something better, I get your concerns. I get that it's, we can't trust the people who would make the decisions to implement this new system, but everything we've been complaining about during this podcast is a result of the system we're living under. So why are we just, with it?
Start,
we can't trust
right.
Anybody.
So start slowly. sorry again for the fumbling around this morning, man. The coffee
it's early.
It's really early for us. What I'm getting at is that this is, if more and more people started this approach, like that lady that we saw, and we will put it in our show notes, if more and more people realize and put their fear aside for a minute and step outside of the system, that's how you truly battle these systems, these oligarchs and all these corporate elitists. This is how you battle it, by going, no, I'm not going to be part of your system. And when I don't have any faith in our society right now either, it's a mutual destruction. That you can't trust the corporate and the government systems, and you can't trust our society because they just buy into everything that they're sold now.
Yeah.
So what can you do? This is why I'm just like, no, I got to get myself out of this crap.
Okay. And I, like I said, I'm still pro universal healthcare, but I also,
should it be limited?
Yeah. I also appreciate your approach. Of getting completely outside the system and doing, because if you can afford your basic needs for healthcare on the month to month, or hopefully year to year, hopefully we're all living a healthy life. And if you can afford that just by setting some money aside, that should be the way things are done. If doctors appreciate, cash up front, sweet. Yeah, we'll give you an x-ray and everything like that for under $200 or $300 or whatever. That seems reasonable to me, instead of the thousands they probably charge through the insurance companies.
That's the problem. And that's another thing. I mean, we saw it firsthand.
I wanted to ask, how do you feel about middlemen? How do you feel about middlemen?
The middleman.
The concept. The middleman. In any transaction, how do you feel about middlemen?
Give me an example. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm not following what you mean. You're talking about if here's the bank, here's the transaction coordinator, and then here's the consumer.
There's a guy who's just going to grift a little off the top and make sure, like, how do you feel about, the basic concept of middlemen?
I think it has its place. Look at it.
If you could do without them, wouldn't that be preferable?
Again, you've got to give me an example. I'm really struggling with this. So who's the middleman in the health insurance companies? I follow you now. Okay, I didn't know what to, on what level. You got a secretary that's the middleman.
And this middleman now has the opportunity to give you, we're just not going to give you the health care that you paid for. My point is, you remove the middleman entirely.
Yeah.
You do not need health insurance companies. Come straight from the government.
No. There you go. Get rid of insurance companies. I can get on board with that. I don't have a problem with having, like I said, a backup. Yeah. You're on your own, and there use. Okay, you want to, if those that use fear as a tactic right now as a motivating to get on the health insurance.
Yeah,
use the fear tactic to get people off of it. It's now on you. You better figure it out.
Yeah.
People will be motivated to go, okay, I got to do something about my job. I got to get a new skill. I got to make more money, because that tragic event or a life-altering event, that could happen. Yeah. In the meantime, I'm still relatively healthy. And when most people realize how going just to the doctor, it's actually $50 to get an x-ray or something like that, when they go, oh shit, just paying cash is this really, it's that cheap?
Yeah.
But the medical insurance companies, when you do see those bills and the unions tell everybody, do you realize how much it costs? Well, of course it costs that much. The unions are also in bed with all these.
Well, it costs that much through insurance.
Correct.
That's the thing. It's like, it does cost that much because that's what they are going to charge.
Right.
The middleman, remove them.
So, if you got rid of that, I don't know. Okay. But use that same tactic. Fear. I hate saying it.
John's a revolutionary.
Comply with, you can do this on your own.
Yeah.
But if something occurs, you need to be prepared. Well, that's where it gets scary. Then you have the backup. And I don't have a problem with a backup, like the same thing with the welfare. But look at what happened with welfare.
Yeah, but I think that's apples and oranges comparing welfare to a universal healthcare system. Because like I said, it's not your day-to-day.
No. The welfare system of, you lost your job, we're going to pick you back up for a few months. You got to prove to us that you're still going out trying to find a job. And then you got 6 months here.
Yeah.
When you're motivated by, fuck, there's a timeline. That can be a powerful tool to go, I need to get on board here.
Okay.
Same thing with your health insurance then, is that, you could be in a car accident. You could be. It's going to keep you motivated to keep functioning, working, putting aside. You're not, I got to buy 18 different coffee mugs and just consumerism.
Remove that
from the equation as well.
Well, that's impossible. People are going to make stupid decisions. But my point is,
that's not my responsibility then, right?
100%. But okay, if you're doing that, say and you're off the healthcare insurance, some drunk driver hits you and you're in the hospital for 2 months recovering.
There should be a, there's where I said a safety net
to get
you through that, but not a constant for every little ailment. That's what I don't want. Universal basic health care. I don't want everybody going to the doctor just off of Brian's taxes, just for every little thing. Yeah, I broke my pinky toe. Yeah, there's nothing to do with it. That's $85. I mean, those little things, people go to the doctor all the fucking time now when it's not necessary. And I see it all the time.
Yeah.
People are, and then now add into the equation the illegal immigration shit that's going on and all these people flooding in our emergency rooms. That's by design. It's more to justify. There's another crisis. We need more tax money. And we're also making, we're getting in bed with all these health insurance companies. So let's get to, here's something that I think we are agreeing on then. Or tell me if you agreed. I don't want everybody on constant, you need to go to the doctor for anything, on that Canada model, which then more and more of that exposed. Like, no, I was sitting there for a long time. But if it's just random, you know, I got hurt, I got the flu. Sorry, you're on your own.
Yeah.
But for life-changing events, here's a safety net on the government. That I wouldn't have a problem with. If then you can also then take it to that next level, can we trust our politicians are going to use that money appropriately?
Yeah, I'm beyond.
And that's how we started. Remove that. Let's say we can trust them.
Well, and that's the thing is even if in this current reality that we're living in where we don't, there needs to be a change in this system. So it's like I'm for moving forward no matter what happens in DC, just because I don't know if I'm ever going to trust them. I'm not going to allow that to make me just, I'm okay with just waiting around then and having nothing change. That's where I'm.
Sure. No doubt. So do we agree? Are you on board with my basic plan then? Is that for your just typical ailments and this kind of thing, running and, you know, you chipped a tooth, whatever. That's on you. You got the flu. You're sick, these kind of normal thing ailments that you're going to multi-care for or the little urgent care and this kind of stuff, that's on you. You're going to get sick. That's just nature of it. You need a prescription because you need 800 milligrams of this because you're really, really ill. I mean, you see what I'm saying? Those basic things, that's on yourself, but life-changing events, fine. The government can step in for 6 months and help you out.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think that's something we talked about yesterday as far as just having it, essentially the government part be like a catastrophic safety net where something crazy happens that's going to be a lot more money than maybe you've set aside. I guess in this the scenario you're laying out for the people who are not going to be able to change their behavior, who are going to go to the emergency room because they stubbed a toe or, you know, just crazy shit that people see wasting other people's time when other people actually have emergencies that need to be responded to, or just going to the doctor and clogging up appointment windows because they got the sniffles. Now, granted, sometimes those sniffles could be something bigger, like, I don't know, whatever. But that's where the middleman doesn't go away. So if you're that person... Sorry, you got to pay for health insurance. Aside, because the government's not going to cover it.
No, that's what I'm saying. But we've already removed. I thought we agreed. We're removing health insurance as not a thing.
Yeah.
Other than the government plan. But
these people aren't. If the people who are going to the doctor, you know, every other week for sniffles or a cough or something like that, they're not going to have money set aside. Clearly, they got something else going on, and they would.
That's what I was saying. The motivating factor then is that this is all that's here.
They can purchase insurance. If they feel that they need to go that route, then they can pay whatever they need to pay for insurance on their own then, I guess.
So you're okay then with still having some kind of an insurance?
I'm not. But I also don't know how to change the culture enough to where people are going to get off that.
You can't.
Crutch.
So then fuck them. I'm sorry. That's where I'm at. That's where we see so many people that are just, they don't deserve it, in my view. They don't deserve the help if you're going to be irresponsible. The life-changing events, those things that come out of left field, that's where I'm all in it. But we have too many people that leech off the system. They're just miserable in their own lives. I shouldn't be paying for other people's misery. And pure, again, it sounds like I don't care about humanity. I don't. there's some level of humanity. I just go, humans are fucked up and they're corrupt and they're rotten and I shouldn't be responsible for you. I've got enough to deal with my own life. My heart could stop at any given moment. I've got my own internal organs that I got to worry about. I've got my own family I got to worry about. It's all on my back. I didn't for 20 years live responsibly. That's not other people's responsibility if I make poor decisions.
I get it. I'm with you. And then it's also just the, I don't know.
It sounds to me, and sorry to keep cutting you off, it sounds to me, I know you don't virtue signal, but there are too many that go, what about humans? What about humanity? They love saying it, but they don't really care. So I guess my question is, where I'm trying to understand, where are you coming from? Do you truly care about all human beings? Because I don't think that's possible. There's a lot of rotten fucking human beings that don't deserve a second thought. So that's why when you have so much of that shit out there, I don't love humanity. I love people and individuals. And you know, that really, you know what I mean? And of course I would help somebody in, yeah, bang, they got, I would help them. They're in a car wreck and I'd help them pull out, you know what I mean? But humanity as a whole, I don't feel it's my responsibility or your responsibility to make sure that they're healthy.
No, I wouldn't even want to take on that responsibility. I don't even know what
but
that
But you are, if you're suggesting that everybody should have a government universal healthcare system for the routine doctor visits, right? Is that you're on board with that? Just routine checkups and that kind of thing, that should be off the government? I don't think the taxpayers should pay for that stuff. That's your responsibility. And that circles back to the educating our youth of that same fear tactic. This is going to be on your back.
It's
so prepare.
Like you're kind of, it's almost be, I'm trying to think of what kind of system we could have. Cause that's really, I mean, I want to change the system, right?
The system.
I hate when the words come out of my mouth, but it's hard to say, have a conversation without bringing it up.
Tell me where I'm off in what I was just saying.
No,
here
I don't love humanity. I don't, like I said, that's outside the scope of the word, and it's outside of the scope of my capabilities to love all human beings. It's just not a reality. I'm not superhuman. I'm not God. I can't love everybody.
But I want to make sure I'm understanding. Are you okay then with all taxpayers paying for everybody's
routine? Well, you could already say that. That's happening.
You could, but we're talking about now. Let's apply a practical system. Do you think there should be a taxpayer funded where the government says, "Hey, you just needed to go to the doctor."
Health insurance costs go up, so people who are still on health insurance, like most Americans, if they have it, those premiums and stuff go up because of all the people you're talking about that go to the hospital and the doctors and everything. That's why it costs so much. I'm totally with you. We're making better decisions. I think somehow
we're missing. We're not getting your. My question is, if the
yes,
practical,
I am. The answer is yes.
Okay, so pap smears, just the routine doctor visits. Ryan should be paying for Mike over there.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's where we completely part ways. It's not my responsibility, and I don't think it's your responsibility to make sure that they're healthy. That's not our responsibility. It's my responsibility to take care of myself.
Correct.
And that's where I think a system where then I can get on board with Medicare, Medicaid, you know, the elderly, because you've put into that system, fine. Yeah. But I would even go a step further and say, for those tragic events that we've talked about so many times now, fine, you didn't see this coming. Holy shit, that's going to be $30,000 and you don't have it. We're here to help. I don't have a problem with that. Routine going over to see whatever. I think that's just absolutely absurd to suggest that society is responsible for your ailments, your routine ailments.
Okay. We at one point had the same job. What about like, I've been doing this job for 20, the janitor, for whatever reason, this repetitive motion with the mop, my shoulder's going out. What about him?
Sorry, that's on him.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with that. And I would suggest somebody who had that much strength to not be pulled by society's, you know, jealousy and envy and all this kind of thing, to go, really, hey, I'm happy doing this. I would suspect he probably was prepared for a situation like that. Mm-hmm. No, and he busted his ass that many years.
Well, that's a
and
big
now
assumption.
He's in retirement.
That's also an assumption that all
he's
those
also
people, the
he's
doctors,
also under
being
the
irresponsible or not taking care of their own.
No, but
healthcare.
He's also under the blanket of the union, so he's got that retirement. I mean, you see what I'm saying?
What about the barista that scalds yourself with a hot coffee or something?
That's a job.
Okay, I'm just saying.
No. Well, that's different. If you're on the job has a responsibility to go, hey, did we provide the safe environment for you? Is it our, that's that corporate responsibility
there. So
they
have to pay for it.
The corporation, sure.
Oh, well, that's good luck with that. I mean, they're not.
Oh, that would be. That happens all the time. People get hurt on the job, L&I, and all this kind of thing. I'm walking through my house. I trip down my own stairs and I break my ankle. That's on me. That is not Brian's responsibility because I was dumb enough to have a couple beers and walk down my own stairs. I don't understand how, where's that coming from? That's what I'm trying to get from you. Why would you think that me being in my own home, getting hurt, and I got to go to the doctor, why is that Brian's tax liability?
I don't know. How much am I really paying?
No, but look at the hole. And then you look at the system that will, you know, use that money irresponsibly. See where I'm going with this? It can all circle back with.
It's already being used irresponsibly.
Right. So get off it. Get off that irresponsible system. Starve them. Starve that government pocketbook.
I don't have a problem with. I don't.
Okay. But I still am just trying to understand the concept of why you still haven't answered. I'm really sorry about repeating myself. But why? Why is it Brian's liability? Now you answered a question with a question saying, well, how much am I really paying? No, but now you got 300 million people. So your taxes are going to continue to go up because of stupid decisions in somebody else's house.
Necessarily.
Their taxes go up all the time for because of these.
No, but it's not necessarily. Yeah.
Because of somebody being dumb. Oh, we got to. Oh,
no,
look at these.
I think our taxes go up because of waste, fraud, and abuse and corruption.
That's
and
part of it.
Else.
Sure.
No, that's the vast majority. It's not someone breaking their ankle on their stairs. It's someone stealing.
But now you take. That's one scenario I just pointed out. That's not
it. Give me the pie of where all my money is going. That is a very small sliver. It's like a line on the pie. You can barely see it.
The corruption is where your taxes get raised.
Yeah.
Right. Because they use
it. Currently living under.
Right. So then let's circle back to the core. At core, why does Brian believe it's your liability for what happens to 300 million people in their own home?
Patriotism. Hey.
Really?
100%. If you're going to, I believe in the idea of a nation state at all as Americans, then we could pull together and be a true nation, a united nation around anything, then let's just look after each other.
And we got to the root of it. And then that I can respect.
I got to pay 10 bucks a month or whatever. I mean, hopefully it's
to help my fellow man.
Even if I were to take what I pay currently for my union benefits, which is why I would not go your route because I have decent healthcare coverage through a union. I mean, it's still maybe not as good as it could be, blah, blah, blah. And anyway, I don't go down that road. If I could just slide exactly what I pay over to universal healthcare system, then some dumbass burns themselves with coffee or falls down their own stairs or does something stupid. If I could cover them for that amount, I'm fine with that.
And that I can respect. Then if it's like you said, if the at its core is because of my fellow man as American, so then you wouldn't be on board, I would suspect, with a global healthcare system.
No, that's
okay.
Not yet. I mean, I don't know. Maybe if I transport my consciousness into a computer and live for another 100 years, I mean, maybe, oh yeah, I could work. But
well, there's a difference between caring about the global and all these different countries and cultures and all that. But I like what you said. As an American,
a nation
being
a patriot, should be able to take care of its citizens. I'm sure if we looked at the Constitution, you could probably find words and languages and language in there that would support that. What is it to provide for the anyways,
common welfare.
Yeah,
and
exactly. I just feel like as rich and as powerful as we are, looking after ourselves. I mean, granted, I'm not denying or saying that, John, you're an idiot. You know, blah, blah, blah.
I didn't. I'm glad I got to the core.
Responsibility. I think getting people off of fucking Google Doc or whatever they're using to freak themselves out, the hypochondriac issue. I think doctors should be turning away people from healthcare, not CEOs at healthcare insurance companies. But if a doc, you walk in, your doctor goes, Jim, this is your fourth time in here this month. You don't need to be here. You go home. But it's like, no, I'm sorry. You don't need any health. Take a fucking ibuprofen or this whole bottle of Tylenol and get the fuck out of my face. I'm just kidding. Obviously, don't do that.
Do it.
I'm just saying doctors and nurses should be able to handle that situation.
Thank you. Yeah, no, 100%. This has really changed a lot.
And then also it's like, you know what? We're not billing the taxpayer for this. You're paying for this out of pocket. That's what it costs on our menu right there of options. I'm 100% on board with people having to pay cash. And like I said, I don't know how much time we got left, but this whole revolutionary, because we wanted to talk about revolution and people grabbing onto power. It's really a revolution and going right to the roots again, from education on up. Educating people about what this new system that we're just dreaming about right now, obviously, would look like, would require people to just prepare for the future, have your nest egg, have a rainy day fund,
right?
Plan for retirement. These are things you must start thinking about when you're 18 years old.
or younger.
Absolutely.
So Jim, when he walks in, is like, I already have my $100 just to look at my elbow. I was like, all right, you're going to pay for it. All right, sit down. Instead of, oh, look at my elbow. Well, do you got money? No. Well, no. We're not billing anybody for this because this is silly. You don't need any help. We can't help you with this. Right. You have your own problem. Deal with it. And like I said, I'm trying to marry the two ideas because I don't disagree with anything that you've said. I have those concerns. I feel like we're kind of lost and aimless right now as a culture, and we're just whiny and soft. We're soft. We're soft as Americans, and it sucks. But I can't solve that problem. I just see a larger problem in what we're dealing with, the health insurance companies and their corruption, denying care. Things are too expensive. They only seem to get more expensive on top of everything else being hard. This needs to be solved at the roots. Like, that's what I...
And all we have is our voices, really. And if you can get...
Or, no, you... I mean, I tip my cap to you, man. Stepping outside that system and doing it on your own, that is a way to affect things outside of just bitching and moaning about
it. And if more people... That's all I'm doing, right, is bitching and moaning. If more people did that. And the idea, I mean... I'm glad you brought this up. We do have a few more minutes about the difference between... You know, again, I was in the same career as you, and being under that union blanket and the corporate blanket, and you know, you've got your premiums that come out every month. And so how often are you at the doctor? And you know, your money is getting pulled out of your paycheck every month, when maybe 8-9 months out of the year you're not even going to the doctor. And that's something that you're paying into, just like car insurance or homeowner's insurance. You pay 20 years into that system, and then the second that you file a claim, your rates go up 30%. I mean, it's so sickening that you're paying all this money into the system. Yeah, you do have good, you know, health insurance. And again, you could go down that road of, well, it could be better in this department, maybe or not. But if you had the option working for a corporation to go, yeah, I'm in the union, but I don't want this insurance, that won't fly.
Yeah.
There are just too many rules. They won't allow you. That's a problem. If you did want to say to your union, hey, can you lower my union dues, because I just don't need
mopping
this
out, yeah.
That's a problem, that the opt-out isn't available. And not saying, and if you're fine with it, great, but you should be able to disconnect it. There is a bigger problem too. You're locked into that system in so many areas.
How do you
stop that?
Well, I mean, if we had my dream system of universal healthcare, you wouldn't have the insurance companies and you wouldn't have union insurance. You just have that taken care of through universal healthcare.
This is a bigger problem, is that it's just everybody's been conditioned. You have to have this. It's through fear. It's through corporate.
I'm not afraid.
No, I know you're not. I'm saying, but the majority of people are. And that's where this all comes from.
But that's
all of it is through fear.
Isn't that
constantly
alleviated? That fear alleviated immediately. Say, hey, don't worry. You don't have insurance anymore, but you're covered. And if you have a thing, you know, go do the thing.
I mean, that sounds great. That's where I get back to my
to cut out middlemen and make the system simpler, transparent, and there for everybody to understand and just be on board. I want people to not want to opt out as like a patriotic duty. Like you talk to people in Britain about their, I can't remember what the national healthcare system there in the UK. They're proud of it. They're on board. When people talk about doing cuts and getting rid of it, people fucking get pissed because it's a point of national pride that, hey, we're going to take care of each other.
Well, and God forbid that something, because I can already see the people, it sounds like I don't care. No. What I mean, I said I care about individuals. And if I see somebody that needs help, I will help them. I want to have that decision-making power.
Yeah.
I don't want somebody to decide that for me.
Well,
that's where you are deciding
just by opting into it. Like, yeah, let's do it. I'm just making that decision now. I want Americans. And get granted.
With that system that you were suggesting, then you're still okay then with the opt out?
No.
Okay. See, that's you're taking control away from an individual. And that's where I have a problem with it. I like where your concept is coming from, or where your heart is coming from. But now if you have a government saying, no, you can't opt out, that's a problem.
Well, you can't opt out of Social Security and Medicare, Medicaid, right?
Those are problems. I don't like the Social Security system either. I should be able to opt out and be responsible. And if I fuck up, I'm sorry, that's on me. And I will own it. And this is why right now I've put things in place more now than ever. So because I out of fear of going, this is on me.
Yeah. So you can't opt out, but you are aware that, I mean, at least Social Security, I think people are fairly well covered under Medicare and Medicaid, as far as I know. But Social Security, you can't live off that once you retire. So there's still that concept of like, hey, we got a little something for you that you've paid into, but you still need to make a personal decision.
And I know, and we just kind of circle all the way back, and that system has been corrupted now. But I should have been able to opt out of that.
It's a marriage of both, though. Like, hey, the country's looking out for you. You're paying into the system. We got – I mean, granted, I know, once again, corruption taints all of this. But just that concept of, hey, we're going to take a little bit out. This is we're going to invest it or blah, blah, blah. And this money's going to be waiting for you. It's your own setup. But we highly recommend that you also eat, you know –
I get it. Okay. And that's what I mean is just we've had too many examples now for the past 50 years of, and this is just, again, I keep repeating myself and not to bore the shit out of everybody, but because of what's gone on, what all the examples that we have of our government going, we're going to do this for you and we're going to use it. And now you're fucked. They don't give a shit. And so in the world where we could trust our systems, I can get more on board with you with the opt-out option.
Yeah,
and that, but because I have no faith in these systems, it's sickening to me. And this is why I think I'm in a better position now that I did pull out of it. That's the way, kind of like what Whitney Webb was saying the other day, and we're going to talk about that next episode. Point, but pulling yourself away, taking that first step of I can step outside of the system because you are capable. Yeah. That's what I'm suggesting. And somebody else making those determinations for me is something that just, I'm so glad that I've, anyway.
I was just going to say, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, I suppose, but it's not like they are crippling you financially by having you opt into this system.
They could, though.
Maybe.
They can take your house because you didn't pay your taxes. I mean, they have too much power. Yeah, that's what scares me. If you're on the system of taxes because you're paying into that system, your taxes go up, taxes continually go up. There's always another crisis. Yes, the medical system, your taxes will go up because of it. We have a growing number of people that are getting A, B, and C disease, and then suddenly use that as a motivation to raise your taxes.
Once again, the fear of what could happen, I can't.
You're in that same system because of what could happen, though.
I know, but it's never going to get me to go, I guess we're just stuck with what we got.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
I know, but that's
step out of it. That's how you fight back. We just said that earlier. Yeah, if more and more people said, wait, I can do what? Yeah. I can? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, we should have. I know we sort of hinted at that, but that's a revolutionary concept in and of itself, and people will push back against that.
I know.
By people, I mean those people,
the powers, that's correct.
The elites, they will not be okay with that. If enough people did it right now, it's like, 2,000 people, what do we care? Like, it's not enough to make a difference to them. But
so to recap, here's where I'm understanding. Brian is on full board from the concept of these are my fellow Americans. I don't have a problem with a universal healthcare system for every ailment. Because you're probably looking at numbers too, is that it's really not that much. It's coming out of my paycheck. But I could get on board with that if there was an opt-out option. That's, I think, where the only difference that we really have is that now having a backup for the tragic events, I'm on board as well. But I always want that option to go, no, I don't want to be part of that system. That's where I think that to me is American.
How about a tiered buyout?
For example,
if you opt out, you get in that car crash, you're 100% on board. Hey,
no, that's what I said is having the backup for the major.
No, you wouldn't get that. You opted out.
No, that's why I said have two systems.
Oh, so you'd have instead of paying,
you can have a universal
$200 a month.
Yeah.
For the universal, you're going to go down to $100 or $75 and just have the catastrophic thing, and you're going to pay for everything else.
I'd say even $25 a month. I mean, that comes out of your taxes because, most people are just like you and I just going through our daily lives. Most people are just rude, but
I'm sorry. I didn't want to get distracted into nuance again, but. Okay, so
and I've done that all recapping. Morning, and I'm really sorry. It's no wine is the problem.
That's the problem. You're recapping with where we're standing, and I'm still trying to get you to buy in because I don't know. I feel like
I don't think I have a patriotic duty to make sure that everybody's not getting the common cold. I just don't think that's my responsibility, or snaps a finger because they chose to play soccer and they fell. Yeah. I mean, that's not my responsibility. I'll get on board with a patriotic duty to serve fellow mankind in major events that I can get on board with.
I think the we said it in the beginning, and it's still the thing that I think is driving you away from all of this is just the corruption. Yep. You don't trust the system to do these things. I think you would be more open to that responsibility of just like, oh, you got a sports injury. Sure, I'll help you out. By,
if you remove the corruption element.
Yeah. If the corruption was removed, yep. And also the culture just being a little more. I mean, I want people to go out and play soccer. I mean, I don't want people to sit around and bubble wrap because that's their version of being personally responsible by not living a life.
Well, we've created.
Well, I know.
That mentality is huge.
Isn't that kind of what you're creating, though, too? If, like, if you're not going to get covered, if it's all on you and there's no one there to help you, well, I just got to fucking stay home then. They're going to have people walking around in bubble wrap.
Yeah, I guess that could happen. But there's where I do have faith in humanity of being motivated to pursue a better life.
Yeah.
Ambition. It can be that was an American spirit for a long time. That's been taken away. Sadly, you do have this because of the stay home, stay safe narrative. People are terrified of their own shadow now. And that's a sickening thing. That's my fear too, is that because of that, everybody's afraid that everybody's got another ailment. That's where I just go. So again, to recap, if you were to take away that corruption, I'm more open to it. I still will never believe that is my, I just said it. It's not my duty to take care of everybody's little ailments, period. That will never change. I don't understand that concept at all. But yeah, everybody, thank you for listening to The Ground Level again. Go over to rumble.com and like and subscribe. You can also, we're now on YouTube, as we said earlier, so for do now, the same
we'll
thing.
See how long that
yeah,
lasts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're fighting the system. But yeah, please help us grow. We love having these conversations. This is where it really starts. If more and more people have these kind of open debates and conversations instead of being at each other's throats, we will get some ground level work occurring.
Obviously, we're still in the small time. So if you have something we didn't think of, or you want to yell at us on the comments, definitely leave
please
that.
Please do.
I might even respond to them. So since the two comments.
They've been entertaining so far as we've been on YouTube. But thanks again, everybody, for listening to The Ground Level.